Hi, my name is Jenny Justice Neumeyer, and you are listening to Life Behind the Scene, Adulting Tuesday Talks, where our resident millennial, Rosie Martinez, and I discuss topics to help young adults maneuver career and life. We are currently walking through the book, The 48 Laws of Power, by Robert Greene, and discussing how those laws are applicable in 2020, and tips on how to apply them to your life. So, welcome. And thank you for listening today. Let's get this party started. I'm Jenny.
Hi, I'm Rosie.
And today we have with us our guest host, Scott Neumeyer.
Hey, glad to be here.
All right. Thanks for joining.
Yes.
Well, we're going to dive right in to our fourth law of power, which is a really personal one to me. Always say less than necessary. When you are trying to impress people with words, the more you say, the more common you appear and less in control. Even if you are saying something banal, it will seem original if you make it vague, open-minded, and sphinx-like. Powerful people impress and intimidate by saying less. The more you say, the more likely you are to sound foolish. In most areas of life, the less you say, the more profound and mysterious you appear. He goes on to say, power is in many ways a game of appearances, and when you say less than necessary, you inevitably appear greater, more powerful than you are. Your silence will make other people uncomfortable. Once you put out words, specifically said, learn the lesson. Once the words are out, you cannot take them back. Keep them under control. Be particularly careful with sarcasm, which is my thing. The momentary satisfaction you gain with your biting words will be outweighed by the price you pay, which I found that hit home because I tend to be sarcastic. I have had to pay a higher price than the moment of sarcasm was worth. So started kicking it off with you, Rosie. What do you, from a millennial perspective?
Yes.
How do you think your generation, how does this resonate with you?
I find this law a little conflicting, only because, and I can see where it's coming from, but I find it conflicting in the way that, and I can put this in a real life scenario. For example, whenever there's a networking event that you're at, you want to talk to as many people or just have conversations with people. And so you would think that by having, a good conversation, saying a lot and talking a lot, you're doing great at networking.
And I was like walking around in a cloak, Mr. just staring at people.
Right. And so with this law, I'd say, you say less and you appear, to look smarter or probably even more professional in a way. So I guess it's kind of conflicting with that. But then again, it is true that, once you say something, you can't really take it back. Because they're words. It's not something you can grab onto and say, oh, take that back. I didn't mean to say that. So I could see where the law is coming from. But in a way, it's still a little conflicting with some of the things that, you've been taught before.
Yeah, so this law is actually a proverb, which says, even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent and discerning if he holds his tongue. And that's kind of, one that you get brought up with, because it is true. And I think that, especially, Rosie, from what you just said, mm-hmm. When we talk about networking, when we talk about that, then that's something that has certainly changed. It's generational, but yet it's now we're starting to see that is that now quality of connection starts becoming more important than just connections. And so when networking started, and it hasn't really been, we've always had networking, but now that it's called networking in the last 10 years for sure, that it is this deal about how many people I can hand my business card out to, how many this. But ultimately, we find out that hasn't done a lot,
right.
And that we find out that no, it is the quality. So with that being said, then if we really aren't trying to get out there to everybody and we're just trying to hold it to a few, then it becomes more impactful. But I think you're absolutely right. If you were just trying to, be like a little bee that visits every flower,
right.
If you're not saying anything, yeah. You're not memorable at all.
Right.
Which, and also from a networking perspective, and I don't remember where else I have read this, but I've read it several times, in just having conversation, just conversational skills, the more you ask of a person about them, the more memorable it will be. So even in that, it's not to dominate the conversation and like, let me tell you more about me. Me, 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 and what I'm doing and me, 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 me. Yeah, you have to have your 30, 60 second, 2 minute, whatever, elevator pitch, mm-hmm. but to allow them to speak more than you are.
Yeah.
Kind of goes back door to this law as well, where you're just not sitting there.
Yeah, I like that. I think that this law kind of benefits the deal of the art of listening, mm-hmm. too. Yeah. That if I'm not sitting there trying to think what I'm going to say next, mm-hmm. then I'm actually listening to the person that's talking. So I'm learning so much more than the other way. So if I don't feel like I'm forced to respond all the time, and I'm going to just sit there and listen, and I'm just going to just kind of nod my head or, then I am going to listen. I'm going to hear what they're saying. And so then when I do respond, I'm responding at a very educated level at that moment. Right. So I think that that's a real key to it. And I think that that's a part of it. Because some of these laws, it's not about what they say. Sometimes it's about what they don't say.
Right.
You know, and it's the underlying of what effect that creates.
Right. And that's one of the, I guess you can call them tactics that I've learned along the years from just mentors and from reading just about networking and all that. And it's, you know, pretty much when you really don't have anything to say or you just don't know where to go from the conversation, it's kind of finding those questions to ask the other person and learn more about them. Because, I mean, like we said earlier, you know, everybody wants to talk a little bit about their story, what they've done and how they got there. So asking people those questions will get different things out of the person and kind of just keeps that conversation going as well.
You know, it's funny because how many conversations have you had with people that you just met, mm-hmm. and now you've talked to them for 15, 20 minutes, you don't even remember their name.
Right.
Because from the moment that you talked to them, you became engaged, mm-hmm. and you were just trying to respond, and that's all you were thinking about.
Right.
Where, if you would have just learned their name, and 3 days later you see them and you can say their name to them, would have more impact than you had just in that one moment.
Right. Absolutely.
So I think some of these laws give you that openness to be able to do those things that mean a lot more, mm-hmm. ultimately.
Well, now, I like how he said, power cannot accrue to those who squander their treasure of words. And if you believe in the law of attraction, there's so much that if you are consistent in the small things, you can attract greater things.
Yes.
And I feel like, you know, word, he doesn't say it, but words are a currency. And that's why we can build up people. We can tear down people. We can build up reputations. Like, you know, and it wasn't that long ago that, you know, a man's word was his
bond,
you know, and we have lost that in social media today. We can say words rashly. We can just put out whatever, even a common phrase like, I love you. You know, it's just like, okay, I love you, you know, there's so many things that we say in today's society that lack depth. And I can see how the more likely you are to say something foolish, because especially if what you're putting in your brain and you really don't have any thoughts, or you're not really, not that you don't have any thoughts, but you know, if you're not conscientious and if you're not deliberate in what you're saying and you just start rattling off and talking for the sake of talking, when that's not really, again, for the laws of power, you're supposed to be every interaction intentional and every discussion intentional, and you're not going to be intentional by talking to
them. When I was in college, my freshman English teacher, his big thing was economy of words, and that was the deal. And if there was one word that said what five words said, you better be using the one word. And his point was, because people only listen to so much, you know, the rest of it, yes, they just kind of fluff off. And I think today, and Rosie being somebody that's so socially media adept, you realize how hard it is to find a way to get anything out anymore because of all of the traffic that's out there. All of the words that are thrown. And so the words, you know, to say less is more actually really is true.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, it's just, you know, you want to say as few words as you can. And it's just to grab that attention.
Right.
I mean, there's just so much going on social media, and people can write a whole paragraph, and truly all they're going to read is probably like the first few words. And if they don't like it, then that's it. There goes their attention.
Scroll.
Yep. So, I mean, that's just kind of the world that we live in today. And, you know, with the laws, you kind of just see that this is something that, you know, went back, you know, thousands of years before. And it's something that, you know, you can apply today as well. Mm-hmm. And if you're smart enough and you know how to apply that and kind of use that to your advantage and use it as a tool, then it can get you places for sure.
We found out, you know, in email marketing now, the two things that are most important, one is the subject line, because you'll have people that won't even open it mm-hmm. because they don't like the subject line.
Right.
And two, the frequency. They're much going to open one that they only get once a month or once every other month mm-hmm. than they would if they get one a week or one every other day, because right. they just delete them and don't even look at them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's the same reality when we're in a group. You know, the guy that talks all the time, nobody even wants to, but the guy that hardly ever talks, when he opens his mouth, he listens, yeah. you know, they listen. So.
Well, and I think from a millennial perspective, because this is what's hitting the job market right now, as baby boomers are retiring and the workforce is shifting, is millennials don't know how to use words. It's all emojis and texting.
Yes.
And I'm still not sure what those emojis mean, just to be honest.
They're on the internet.
Y'all look like smiley faces, but they mean different things. I don't know.
So I guess from the other side is, how do you learn how to use words? Because, it says you can say something banal and it will seem original if you make it vague, open-minded, and strings like, how would a millennial even learn how to talk like this?
I don't know. In some ways, I think they have an advantage because, their conversations for the most part are short. You know, it's a short message or it's a short something. I mean,
streamlined.
To the point, direct. So I think in some ways they have. I think the reason it's diluted is just because there's so much. They're looking at Facebook. They're looking at LinkedIn. They're looking at Instagram. They're looking at so much. That's the part. So you can say few words, but if you say it over 100 different outlets, then right. it becomes a lot. So I think that becomes the difference, is reducing how many places, because, you know, how many posts do you see that get on LinkedIn that automatically go to Instagram, that automatically go to Twitter, that automatically go to Facebook? And it's like, boom, 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 boom. So the idea of having this condensed conversation in just very few words would be great. But maybe we have to look at how we limit it, even on social media, of just maybe one channel. And then people will start wanting more, especially if it means something. So I think that becomes a part of it. But also, you know, I still love the fact that, you know, people will think that you know more than you do just by not responding to things. Mm-hmm. You know,
right.
Because the assumption that you understand is already there.
Right.
And that can be good and bad, but I think that, you know, that, like it says, that they will think that you're wise just because you've said nothing. That's kind of cool, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and this goes to, and he said, and I can't find it right now, but he talks about how anger is the worst thing you can do to mess up your position of power. And I think for females, it's hard to control emotions at work. I think men can handle being more stoic, more poker face about situations at work than women can in the workforce. And anger, and, you know, things happen all the time that make you mad. And those are the times that you may say something that would disrupt all your work that you have laid mm-hmm. by utilizing all the previous tires. So I think learning how to manage anger is something, and I don't know if it's a law in here or not, but I think that is really tied to the words that you speak too, because it's an anger, and it's not so much the words you speak, it's your whole body language, it's everything, which is what the laws of power taps into. It's everything that you're doing. I feel like that's something else that comes into.
I think people have been hurt a lot less by less words than more words. I think, you know, you never hear anybody complain about somebody that said too little, but you sure hear a lot about people that said too much.
Right.
So, you know, when you're interviewing candidates, and that's what you find out, that one of the greatest traits of a good interview is to get the candidate to talk about themselves.
Right.
Not for you to even ask questions, but for them to just go on and on and on about themselves. Mm-hmm. And I will still remember a candidate, this has been many years ago, and I was ready to hire this person. I mean, he had a good interview and all that, and then he got comfortable. And then he started sharing with me how well, you just got out of a rehab program.
Oh, and my goodness.
He just went on and on about all of these things. You're like, oh, my gosh, this is not good for us, you know. But that's what happens.
Yeah.
You know, it's what happens. And
he should have read the laws of power.
He should have read the laws of power because he had a job. But, you know, it is, you know, that's the idea. I mean, lawyers, all they want is to get people to talk. Because you will talk yourself out of it. And so I think it's probably one of those laws that, even if it wasn't for power, common sense. Just to say, maybe I don't need to say that. Everything. Yeah. Maybe.
I actually have a friend that has told me that a couple of times. Bless her heart. And then for the exception, it just says, there are times when it is unwise to be silent. Silence can arouse suspicion and even insecurity, especially in your superiors. A vague or ambiguous comment can open you up to interpretations you had not bargained for. Silence and saying less than necessary must be practiced with caution, then and in the right situation. It is occasionally wiser to imitate the court jester who plays the fool, but knows he is smarter than the king. Also, words can sometimes act as a kind of a smokescreen for any deception you might practice. By bending your listener's ear with talk, you can distract and mesmerize them. The more you talk, in fact, the less suspicious of you they become. So this is the reverse of the silent policy employed by the power. By talking more and making yourself appear weaker and less intelligent than your mark, you can practice deception with greater. So there's an exception.
Yeah, I don't know how many people are comfortable with that one, but I know that that's probably true.
Right.
Yeah.
We've all seen it. Yeah. You know? But I think the other one is a lot easier to practice.
I think so.
It is. But just throw that out there. You know, if somebody's really working up that ladder.
There you go. Yes.
And really taking this to heart to achieve their goals.
Yeah. But I think that we're much better measuring what we say and measuring what we say to everybody because, you know, it can go against us and it can hurt us. And some things are better left unsaid. So I still love the joke about the pastors that all would get together and they'd all get together and confess their sins one to another. So they'd all, you know, be on that same, they had somebody that they could talk to. Mm-hmm. And the one pastor, he starts going on and on about all these things he's done. Other pastor pokes out, he says, I don't believe I was told that. You know, I mean, because, you know, we can say too much to anybody.
Right.
So we have to really measure what we say. And sometimes, I don't know why I read it, but somebody was saying that if we ever thought about our life was our words, and that each one was given X amount of words to say, and that once we had said whatever that number of words was, we would die. If that was a thought, then wouldn't we be much more measured on how we used our words, of how we said our words, and then our words, because nothing hurts more than words. We know that. We've right. seen it, right? We've said things that we wish we could call back, and we've heard things that we wish we would have never heard. So if we started thinking about it in that point and say, all right, then that's all, then we would really be very careful about the words that we used, and we would make sure that they were measured and that they were well thought. And I think that that's what this law is really going into. It's, you know, it's deeper than just, you know, not saying too much. Because sometimes we all say too much and we all talk.
Yeah, that's true. That's why I haven't really said much.
I noticed you've been a lot quieter than normal.
I'm very mysterious and sphinx-like.
I'm getting suspicious, yeah. Jenny.
I know.
There must be a reason for this.
Yes, right? See?
I see a smoke screen, Rosie. I don't know about you.
Yes. I don't know. I mean, it's going to be interesting. It's hard for me. It is really hard for me to say less. Like, I've tried to, or I've had to, when I've had to keep a secret. Mm. And I hate it. I hate the, I just can't, I'm like, ooh, who am I talking to? Can't talk to certain people. Can't, like, I will avoid people because I can't tell them something.
Right.
And so, this is just very,
But what's that rule for, like, actors and for singers and all that? What is it? Always leave them wanting more, right? Always, always leave them wanting more, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And I think that's a part of this too. It's like always wanting to hear more. Because then who are they going to call? Who are they going to, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
So we hope that you, as you're listening, want to hear more. Because next week, we will be continuing our discussion. And I guess seeing as we go over the weeks what we can implement in our lives it would be interesting too to kind of talk over to see if we've been able to
any of the laws.
Yes.
And on the next law, because we're going to practice this law, there probably won't be a lot of speaking, just very few words.
We're just going to be all mysterious. We're just going to.
We'll see how that works.
What do you have to say? But this is a very good conversation again. And thanks for listening. And we'll see you next week. Yeah, bye.
Bye.
I love our discussions. This was yet another very interesting law. And considering that my nature is to tell all, I have so goofed up on this law big time, literally within the last week. And I find it extremely difficult personally to say less. Last week I mentioned this because this sort of kind of goes hand in hand with concealing your intentions. Again, very difficult for me. So I'd love to hear about you. Is this your nature to overshare because that is a thing now, especially with social media? Or do you naturally have the ability to have an economy of words? Let us know. Join our LinkedIn group for Adulting Tuesday Talk and keep this conversation going. Thank you for listening. This is Jenny signing off. Until next week.